this morning was from the Psalms. I hope that you were able to listen to that. To listen to the redemptive power of God in the Old Testament even before Jesus came. And to listen to the power of God even before we had Jesus' life, human life, death, and resurrection. Now, we come to the time in our scripture in the New Testament that most people do not take very seriously. They read this passage of scripture, whether it's Matthew, Mark, or Luke, that they read it out of. They read it as a passage about Jesus that doesn't really concern us, and isn't that wonderful that he's so great, but we really don't have a part in this. What I'd like you to do as you listen to the scripture today is to remember that Jesus participated in this action to show us what we needed to do when faced with the same situation. This is not just about Jesus. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was banished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But Jesus answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." And Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, do not put your Lord, your God, to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the earth and all their splendor. And he said to Jesus, "All these I will give to you if you will fall down and worship me." And Jesus said, "Get the heck out of here. Oh, no. Away with you, Satan. For it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited upon him. May God add blessing to the reading and the hearing, but particularly to the living of this one. We think of this passage as the wilderness temptation of Jesus. And if we even try to think about it from our own standpoint, we couldn't do any of that, so, you know, that's Jesus. But if we really have faith, if we have genuine faith, then believe me, the tempter, the devil, whatever you want to call, will come. And will place you in situations where you do not think you can survive. Will place you before you gems and gold and silver, but they all have a condition. You do this, and whatever the this is, believe me, is not good. It's not holy. We think about this being three different temptations, but it's not. It's one big temptation with three examples. It's the temptation to power. Who has the power? Who gets the power? The first time Jesus comes out of the wilderness after 40 days, hasn't had anything to eat, and the tempter says, you can change those stones into bread. Why don't you just do it? If you're the Son of God. That's sort of like telling a farmer, you can just go out in that field that's all bare and naked, and you don't have to plant any seeds. You can just clap your hands, and the greatest corn you've ever seen will grow, or the greatest soybeans you've ever seen will grow. That's temptation. And I think the farmers in the room will agree, it doesn't work. That's not the way things work. And Jesus tells the tempter, that's not the way things work. And I'm not going to fall for that tempting idea. Now, Jesus did have the power, unlike perhaps the farmers. I don't know. I'm not going to say too much along those lines. They might be able to go out there and just lay hands on the fields. I don't, but I think probably they have to plant seeds. So that's my feeling anyway. Power. Tempter says, use your power for something selfish. Use your miraculous power for something that you need, not for the good of the world. Well, that didn't work. So then the tempter takes Jesus up to the high pinnacle on the synagogue and says, if you're the Son of God, if you're just so big and important and holy and all this kind of stuff, just throw yourself off because you're not going to get hurt, right? Now, I have to pause at this moment. I have known some people who have gotten up on top of roofs and pinnacles, and they shouldn't have done that. They learned their lesson the hard way. When you fall, it hurts. A lot. Don't do that. Get help. Of course, Jesus being Jesus, yes, sure, he could have thrown himself off of the pinnacle, could have landed on his feet just like we see in Superman or, you know, whatever. But he says, you're not supposed to tempt me or you with these ideas about power. That we have the power to do things we should know how to be doing. Don't tempt the Lord your God. I'm not going to answer that temptation. How many of us have done things, had to do things, felt we had to do things that we should know how to be doing? And how many of us have fallen down in one way or another. And it hurts. And Jesus says, don't let that temptation get you. Tell that tempter to go away. There's so many temptations out there in the world. But it's about who has the power. Do you really have the power to fly off the side of a building? No. Do you really have the power to resist the temptation of hatred? To resist the temptation of having a fight? To resist the temptation of overdoing what you should not be doing? Whether that's physically, emotionally, spiritually, whatever. We all have the ability to put our hand up and say, no. Not for me. No. Well, tempter didn't get anywhere with that one. So finally the tempter takes, and this is the hardest one for all of us. It's the hardest one for all of us. Tempter takes Jesus out onto the top of a mountain, and Jesus can see every nation that existed in the world. And the tempter says you can have them all. You can rule them all. You can run them all. You can tell them what to do. You can be in charge. You can be the head of their whatever. All you have to do is you, just you, fall down and worship me. Oh. Jesus came with this mission that he was supposed to transform the world. He came with the mission that he was criticized him. He didn't have to go through all those temptations to give up when people wouldn't listen. You can have all of this, but you need to worship me. How many of us have been placed in that position? Oh, I'm not talking about ruling worlds necessarily, although some of you are in, you know, very high positions. But just needing things and wanting things for your children, for your family. Wanting your life to be better. Wanting people to understand where you're from and what you believe in. Wanting them to get it so badly. You're so tempted to take the easy way out. All you gotta do is worship Satan. All you gotta do is let the devil come into your hearts. All you gotta do is let the tempter come in and rule your life forever. That's all. Just that little thing. That little thing's everything. You're turning over your very soul. And I know that the scripture doesn't originally say, and Jesus said, get the heck out of here. But if Jesus were here today, that's exactly what Jesus would say. Don't you tempt my people to do that. Don't you tempt my kids to take the easy way out. Don't you tempt my kids with drugs, with alcohol that numbs pain. They need to walk through it. Don't you tempt my families with the urge to fight and bicker instead of trying to sit down and reconcile. Don't you tempt the governments to take the easy ways and the short ways. Don't you tempt people with power. Don't you tell them they can be almighty. These are my children, Jesus says. These are my kids. And my love will get them through temptation. My love will walk them through the 40 days. My love will restore them. My love will heal them. My love will help them. My love will make them strong. My love will make them hopeful. My love will help them stand up for those who can't stand for themselves. My love will be in their hearts every single day. And they will sing praises to me, not to you, Satan. You don't get my kids. Because they're precious to me. I'm going to die for them. And I willingly go for all of my kids, for all of my children, so that they won't answer your temptations. These next 40 days, you have a wonderful opportunity to take a hard look at your life and to look and see where the temptations are. Where do you place power? Who's in charge of your life? Who's in charge of what you do, what you say, what you think? Who's in charge of what you believe? Who's in charge of how you feel? Is it you and God? Or does the tempter get in there and burrow? You have such a wonderful opportunity. We all do. We can do this anytime. But these 40 days, we're actually called by Jesus to look at our lives and see where we need Jesus to be stronger. Stronger than the temptations. Let us pray. Almighty, gracious God, you are our everything. In Jesus, we find strength and purpose. We find an example we can live by. We find everything that we need for life. For Jesus provides us with everything that we need. And once provided with His Spirit, we can go out and do the work and not take the shortcuts and not look for our own power, but look to His power in our lives. And we can live lives of integrity and honesty and goodness And we can live lives of unconditional love through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. As we stand to sing our hymn of invitation this morning, I invite you to begin that 40-day journey. And don't ever stop. Begin looking within yourself and asking Jesus to heal you in those places that need to be healed. And to inspire you in the places that need to be inspired. And to give you grace in the places where you need grace. So that your life, your heart, all of your senses may be completely filled with the sweet love of our Lord and Savior. Let us stand and sing.